This conference is being recorded.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Live Richly call. This is Tuesday, January the 9th, and my name is Leslie Cunningham, and I'm with SpringWindCoaching.com. And we have these free Live Richly calls the first three Tuesdays of each month at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And the focus of these calls are to help empower and give you the tools to create financial success in your life. So my focus with this is to help people take internal action towards feeling wealthy, so from more of a prosperity sense, and also external action through taking specific financial action steps in the world. And my feeling with this is that if we find ourselves in a place of financial tension and stress and we don't feel like there's enough money coming in and we're arguing with our partners about money, or maybe our businesses aren't making the amount of money that we desire, that this money stress can get in the way of living fully. And so through taking financial action, and also learning how to live like with a more kind of rich quality of living, that this is what improving our finances is all about. It's not just about external action, but it's also about being in a certain way so that we create true wealth, not just in terms of our pocketbooks, but in our relationships, our personal time, our lifestyle, our values, and the things that matter most to us. So that's what these calls are about. And for today's call, I am going to be talking about how to create a space to hold the tension of opposites. That's how I described it in my email that went out that you guys received. And just before, I guess, I just want to open this up to everybody, whoever would like to share, before I jump into this topic, if you guys would just take a minute or two and reflect on what are the sources of tension that you feel in your life or conflict that you have. It could be something big. It could be something small. But think about some of the things that might have come up in the last couple of weeks. And just throw those out there. You know, if you want to share a little bit around it, that's fine. If you just want to throw out a topic, that's fine too.
Internal conflict of, like, you know, wanting to make changes and dealing with old habitual ways of being.
Great. So from internal and this desire to have something a certain way, and then seeing how you've been in the past or maybe habits. Does that feel like that accurately conveys what you're trying to, does that kind of summarize it?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Okay.
And Leslie, I'm thinking too that kind of no matter how you're feeling, some days you just have to get organized, and kind of the external part of that, like piles of things and paper tigers and organizing for your family and, you know, a lot of just things that are action-oriented and, you know, you just have to have the energy for it.
Great. Okay.
You know, maybe you've been mulling over it internally and now it's time to take action. And that's kind of where I'm at.
And Christelle, are you thinking more specifically like with the actual organization process, like maybe in a house or something, or?
That also.
That? Okay.
But also getting my financial house in order.
Great. Okay. And
particularly the, you know, looking at the tax year, that kind of thing.
Okay, great.
Sort of everything at once, really.
Yeah.
And maybe the point there is that, you know, there's only so much energy for things.
Mm-hmm. So actual external action with, in particular, the getting financially organized and getting your finances in order and statements and knowing where those things are. And
right, and I guess the motivation of a little added energy, I think it's like the same energy it takes to be thinking all the time about cleaning out your closet, you could just be doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
In an actual physical way. And
uh-huh.
maybe the transition of, okay, now, you know, now we've thought enough, we don't want to just blindly strike out and act and do nothing like a gerbil on a treadmill, but there has to be some purposeful action going on. And I'm having a little trouble deciding, gosh, where am I going to start on that?
Yeah, so, okay, I totally understand that. Great. Thank you.
Leslie, this is Heather.
Yeah.
I would say one of the things that I've been thinking about as the start of this new year is balancing boundaries between taking care of what others need and taking care of myself.
Great. Were you going to add something else to that, Heather?
Nope, that's it.
Okay. Wonderful. So what you guys have mentioned, what we have here are internal, some internal conflicts, external, based on taking external action, and then also relational conflict and tension between what we want for ourselves and balancing the needs of others. So that's actually wonderful how that turned out. That's a nice balance as far as example for what I'm going to talk about today. So keep these, I'm going to keep these in mind as I'm going through my content for today. And I just want to start by sharing a story. And this is a story about one of my clients that attended a class. And the wonderful thing about this is that that client is Rose, and she's actually here today on the call. So I'm going to, after I share this story, just open it up for her to share anything else that she'd like to add to this, because it's quite fascinating how this, my introduction to this concept of the mandrala came about, and I'll explain what that is. So I was teaching a class a few weeks ago, and it's one of my financial dating classes. And during this class, I had introduced an exercise for the participants. And I do this in my one-on-one coaching as well with my clients. I think this is, it's very powerful. I had asked the participants in the class to come up with something that conveyed their ideal money dynamic that they'd like to have in their relationship with their partner. So, for example, what, you know, to give you a better sense of what that was, like some people, we all have this way of handling money. And then we have this ideal way that we'd like to handle money. A money dynamic is different than just setting a goal for wanting to make a certain amount of money. A money dynamic more conveys the energy with, it's an actual dynamic. How do we want to interact with money? How do we want to treat money? And how do we want to treat that in our relationship with our partner? So I gave this assignment, and the people came back and they shared what their money dynamic was. And Rose and her husband shared what they had come up with. her husband had shared something about this really neat imagery that he had about these wheels and these cogs, and here was his wife, and here was Rose and him, and they're pouring. He saw this imagery of like pouring this oil or like this energy through the cogs, and out came money and abundance on the other side, which was very powerful, and he was very excited about. And then Rose had shared with him some of these other ideas that she had. And she had actually done like a Google search and put in like, you know, lots of different things, symbols, money, relationships. And as a result of this search, she found a website that talked about the mandala or mandorla. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. And this is the story behind the mandorla. So if you guys have a piece of paper handy and a pen, you might want to grab that, because I'm going to give you a little bit of imagery that would be helpful if you wrote this down on, drew this out on a piece of paper. So I guess just to give you a little bit of context before I share what this actually is, my objective with sharing this information today is to give you guys a visual image or a metaphor that you can use whenever you're feeling tension or stress or conflict. So think about some of those things that you'd mentioned at the beginning of this call. So whatever that tension or stress is, I want to help provide you with this visual image of the mandorla that will help you create a space for holding this tension, this difference, this being where you are, and this idea of where you want to be. And then, so that's kind of the first thing, is providing you a visual image and a metaphor. Secondly, creating a space to hold that tension. And third, helping you see new possibilities that you couldn't or wouldn't have been able to see before. So that's the context of this, of what I hope to help you get out of this. So on your piece of paper, draw a single circle. And then draw a second circle, but have it slightly overlap the first circle. So there's a point in the middle where the two circles overlap. There's the individual circles and then the point of overlap or connection. The mandorla is actually an ancient symbol of these two circles coming together and overlapping with each other. And in the center where they overlap, you'll see an almond shape. It forms the shape of an almond. And mandorla is actually Italian for the Italian word for almond. Now, just a little interesting aside, too, is when you look at this shape in the middle, you guys know the symbol that you see for that Christians use, the symbol of the fish. You can actually see this symbol actually came from this overlap of the two circles. If you use your imagination, you can see where that almond shape forms the body of the fish, and where each individual circle starts to take off forms the tail that you see. So this place in the center is, or this almond place, this is a very powerful place, and it's where the opposing worlds or forces interact. And if you look at this as one circle being yourself, the other circle being your partner, and in the place in the middle is where the interaction between the two occurs. Now, you guys mentioned internal, there's moments or situations where you have internal conflict, you can use this circle to apply to any kind of conflict. So this could be one circle might represent, like Chris had mentioned, your ideal for how you want to be. And the second circle represents where you feel like you are. And that almond shape in the middle is the blending of the two, or the space for opportunity. Now, I'll just describe a little bit about the center some more, because it's a very powerful place, and then I'm going to open this up for questions and let Rose add anything else to this. And maybe if she'd like, you know, share a little bit more about her story. Not to put you on the spot. If you don't want to, that's absolutely fine, too. So this place of center, it's called the coincidence of opposites. And this place in the center is where opposites, so think about this as where opposites coincide or interact. And however you relate to that, this container, this place in the center, you might want to think about it as a place for opportunity, alchemy, possibility, or God. But it's this place where the differences coincide. And it's a place where we are called to show up in our life. Now, if you want another metaphor to relate to this place in the center, think about having a clear mason jar filled with water, all right? You have this clear glass mason jar in front of you, and you have a bottle, a small bottle of red dye, and another bottle of blue dye. So these are the individual circles, blue dye, red dye, and you put a couple of drops of red dye in there. And then you put another couple of drops of blue dye. So what happens, so just, you know how that looks, right? You can just picture it kind of floating through the water, and then initially they're separate, and then what happens when they interact? They form a new color, right?
Right.
Yeah. They form this color of green by the interaction. And so that's what happens in this almond shape, this place in the middle. It's this idea being that it's not like in a relationship. It's not my way. It's not your way. But it's our way. How can we create this new space? And when I coach, I've noticed a lot of people, and this is a natural tendency for us, is to not be able to hold this place of tension in our life, whether it's interacting with our partner and wanting to get rid of that feeling and just wanting to react instead of holding that place of tension. So I want you to think about, you know, I've given you a metaphor and I've given you this symbol. And I really want to develop this a little bit more so we're not just talking about it conceptually, but I really want you to think about what that would be like to really hold that place of tension. So do you have anything else that you'd like to add to that, Rose, or anybody else? Or does this bring up some additional thoughts and ideas for you?
Well, one is, this is Rose, and one of the things I was amazed when I came across this symbol and showed it to my husband, how quickly he latched onto it. It's because my husband and I are opposites, and even though we can do a lot on our own, sometimes when we come together, there's just a lot of flash and a lot of fire that happens and a lot of tension, and this gave us both an image or a concept of, instead of, as you said, it'd be one way or the other, it would, where the goal would be to hold the two at the same time instead of, you know, one at a time, which we could do, but to hold the two concepts, the two people. And it's amazing how powerful this was. I immediately like it, but it was amazing how powerful it was for my husband, to the point where for Christmas, he bought a beautiful frame and framed a picture of the mandorla. And the other day we did a financial meeting, and our opposites came into play because I'm emotional and he tends to be more rational. And he wanted to talk about this particular thing, and I felt like that it was going to be upsetting to me, and so it didn't work. But later on, he said, "Well, we didn't hold the mandorla at all, did we?" You know, so he had a concept and had a frame of reference to put that in, as opposed to not having any way to even look at it, even hold it. And also one of the things that I've noticed, that it's a way that we can hold our own contradictions within ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, our own tension. And the fact is, I can really relate to the physical tension, because that's one of the things that happens for us on occasion. And it is a very physical tension, and neither one of us want to hold it, you know, literally to the point where, you know, I might get angry and he would walk away. But this is, we are finding that we are more and more, we can name it, we can give it a name, and literally feel the tension without, you know, and explore it.
Yeah. That's so beautifully said. It's really this, by having this symbol for you to relate to, and your husband, who's very, like you said, more logical, and maybe you're more emotional, it was even something that he related to and could understand. And then even if the interaction doesn't happen perfectly, quote unquote, but that there's this awareness of holding a certain space for allowing that, you know, in the future, for that to be, for something to strive for, this vision, this dynamic, this way of being in a relationship with your finances and with each other. Does anybody else have something they'd like to add to that? I'd love to. And I like what Rose mentioned as far as just holding her own tension and, you know, within herself that she experiences, because this really is applied. There's not a single area where you can apply this to all areas of conflict and tension. Okay, so think about, what are your normal dynamics within yourself, or within relationships, or with your desire to take certain external action? Think about what is your normal dynamic, your normal way of handling stress and tension and conflict. Let's just put some of these things out there and just kind of name them. What's our normal way of being?
I might add something here.
Sure.
My husband and I do counseling. We had a counseling session last night and brought this last financial session up for discussion. And the counselor said something that was very interesting, because we, you know, had this opposite interaction. And I was asking him, you know, for some input on what help he could give us on dealing with that. And he said, at that point, the main thing is not to solve the problem.
Yeah.
The main thing is to go above the problem. And he said something which I had not heard before or had thought about. And he said, usually we want to jump out of it. We want to get rid of it. And he said, at that point, you slow it down. You slow it down, and you're just holding it there. And you're not, the purpose is not to solve the problem. The purpose is to hold it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm glad you added that, because if you think of this metaphor of these, you know, the red dye and the blue dye, it's almost as if when we jump to, it's not to say that thinking doesn't, logical thinking and planning doesn't have its place. It certainly does have a place, but what tends to happen when we feel tension is that we, like Rose said, we jump to wanting to solve the problem. And what's our motivation sometimes for wanting to solve the problem? It's to get rid of the tension. So if you use this analogy of the dyes, like if you were to add this red dye to the water, and maybe instead of it spreading through the water, you're holding on to it, and then you put the blue dye in the water, and instead of it spreading throughout the water, you're kind of holding on to that in the state of contraction around the tension, and so they don't get to blend and, you know, become this whole, it doesn't get to become something new. So an example of that would be like having an argument and holding on to your own way, or just and not, you know, maybe resisting the tension and saying, oh, I shouldn't be feeling that. I need to have an answer, instead of just letting it exist so that you can really explore something new. So I'm kind of talking in a little bit conceptual terms. Let me give you some specifics, but before I move on to that, is there anybody else? I'd love to hear from somebody else as far as what's your normal way. I just want to get this stuff out there so we have specifics to talk about. What's your normal way of dealing with tension and this conflict? Okay, well, go ahead and move on. For me, my normal way is, well, it's changed because of my work. So I'll explain what it's become, but I'll also add kind of my default way is definitely to, in the past, this was very, very strong. It was just to tighten up and you know, go through these kind of beating myself up or saying, oh, I shouldn't feel that way, you know, putting myself down. That was kind of the default. And then in a relationship, this is very strong, and I'm certainly not past this at times because this definitely still comes up, but it comes up less as a result of being able to hold these spaces. But in the relationship, it comes up as my way's right, and that's all that matters, and being very, very adamant. So that's as far as naming that dynamic or kind of tendency. So think about this metaphor, and let me apply it a little more specifically. As I've had clients that have struggled about how to, maybe it's with their businesses or around fully showing up in the relationship with their partner around money. And I think I've shared this kind of in a general sense maybe a couple of calls ago. But for example, I've worked with clients where, you know, we'll be talking about how do they want to handle their money. And a lot of times the quickest, most instant reaction is they have a quick answer. And I've noticed that they, instead of thinking about how they want to handle money, and this same concept applies to whatever tension or conflict that you listed or named at the beginning of this call. So instead of thinking about how they want to handle their life or ideally how they'd like to approach their life or their finances, they tend to think about what they think will be accessible to their partner. And that's their solution. It's a quick solution. Oh, this is the solution. I should handle money this way. We should have, you know, maybe we should just continue to have this joint checking account, or I'm kind of making up some of these examples here. Or in our own mind, we tend to say, oh, this is how I should handle my relationship with my friends, maybe. If I need to take care of my friends or my family, as opposed to I can't really think about myself. We have this tendency to go towards what we think is the correct way how we should be. And the point that I'm trying to make is in order for this mandorla to be fully expressed so that you can meet in the middle of really holding your differences, we need to show up completely and let go of how we think things should be. We need to get clear with who we are and what we want. So I'm going to share this specific story to even make this kind of drive this point home a little bit more. My own personal experience with this, and I wrote about this several months ago in a newsletter, was in a conversation that I had been having with my husband. I don't even remember what it was around. But he was, we had an argument, and he was saying, this is how it should be, and, you know, this is the solution. And like I said, I was kind of in my default mode, and I was saying, no, this is how it should be. And I had a few minutes to just kind of collect myself and hold the space for this tension. And I asked myself, you know, if my vision is to really create a successful financial relationship with my partner, because we had been talking about something that dealt with finances, if my intention is to really create this financial success as a couple and, you know, around finances and our relationship, right? What would that look like? And I had this image in my mind. I called it, I thought, you know, if we were going to be real winners in our relationship, what would that look like? And I instantly, in my mind, heard this voice of, well, I need to say what I need to say, and yet I also need to really hear what my husband had to say. And so he didn't know that all this had gone on. This was a matter of seconds. And instantly, so this is creating this space, this container for this mandorla, right? So I saw a new opportunity. I was able to hold this tension and came up with this kind of inspiration in this space in the middle. And as a result, our conversation completely changed. I mean, his tone changed, and this was all because I made a switch within myself, because I was able to hold that tension. And we had a very good connecting conversation, and it wasn't like I was okay with everything he was saying, because I wasn't, but I was able to hold this tension in my body. And a lot of us, I told some people that I've worked with, you know, before you respond, take a moment to maybe 30 seconds. Promise yourself you won't respond for 30 seconds. Now, the point you know, if you're having conflict or an interaction with your partner and you're really angry. Now, the point isn't, of course, to avoid our feelings, but to hold that tension and really feel what that feels like in your body. Feel it, because a lot of times we respond instantly because we don't want to have that tension in our body. So how can you maybe apply this to some of the things that you guys have mentioned, or maybe some of the things that you might be struggling with, because we're all human and these things come up. Let's just have an open conversation around this, around the, you know, how do we really apply this? What would that look like? You know, maybe share, if you'd like, a few of the things that you mentioned at the beginning of the call and how you might handle that differently. Who would like to share? So the idea is this place in the center, you know, kind of staying in the center. Another, you know, so think about that. You know, think specifically what that might be like. To put this on a different level, you know, to kind of, that might be a little more similar to what some of you mentioned at the beginning of the call. Here's another example of how you might apply this. Now, this could just sound like a neat, great spiritual concept, but it really is very powerful. So another example from my own personal life with this is I have been thinking about this, carrying this idea around, and I noticed, this was probably last week, I have this way that I like to work and like to run my business and like to accomplish things. And I'm very much a left brain and a right brain person. So I get the opportunity a lot of times to hold this place of conflict or difference, because my left brain approach to getting things done is to write my list and to be very regimented about how being self-disciplined and accomplishing them, the things on my list. My right brain approach is to be more laid back and relaxed and have some breathing room and listen to how my body feels and just kind of, you know, accomplish it as it goes and not be so driven. And I was holding this difference within myself. So the two circles, you know, here's the part of me that one circle is wanting to be disciplined, the second circle is wanting to be more relaxed, and in the middle. So I did really bring up this image of the mandorla in my mind, and I thought, okay, this place in the center where these two circles overlap, what is that? If I were to really hold that place, what would it be? And this was a matter of minutes, right? This didn't take any time. It was a matter of holding this intention. And my normal reaction would have been to just assume that I had to continue to work through my list in a very disciplined way. Well, when I brought that to my awareness, I realized, this might sound simple, but it was very powerful for me. I realized, oh, hey, it's okay. I can write my lists and I can be disciplined with accomplishing it, but I can take time out. But I don't have to work several hours straight. I can just sit and relax and sip some tea when I feel like I need to and continue to work through it. Whereas in the past, I thought that I had to either be all this way or all another way. And I also thought, oh, I have to have this certain schedule. This is a big thing that comes up for, as I coach self-employed professionals, a big thing that comes up is how to create work schedules, you know, how to balance your personal life and your business life. And some people talk about finding out what your ideal work schedule is and having that be your work schedule. Maybe you work from 9 to 4, maybe it's 10 to 5, you know, whatever it is, being clear on your hours. And I noticed for myself, I'm more spontaneous. It changes from day to day, and I want it to be that way. There are some days that I love to get up in the morning and start work very early, and there's other days that I don't. And so for me, the place in the middle is being relaxed and having a balance between those two, not having it be the same every day, just being able to check in.
You know, while you were talking, I was thinking that this, using the same mandorla image, when you and I first started working together on finances, I think because of my ignorance of some of the, as a good business person, I could bring the money in, but I didn't know what to do with it after I got it. And you and I working together, you helped hold this space in the center. But in the center for me was, you know, this, whenever you have possibility, you have both opposing forces. You have possibly the worst case scenario and possibly the best case scenario. And sometimes, or most of the time, I think that's a difficult space to hold because of the unknown. And because we want to prepare ourselves for, you know, the worst. But what you helped me do was explore it. You know, we weren't, you didn't criticize, you didn't, say you should do this or you should do that. You know, there was, so it was a matter of helping these concepts or possibilities float within this without saying, okay, we want this, we don't want that, we want this, you know. It was letting them all mix in there together, and I think, you know, the amazing results that I've had have probably mostly come from being able, you helping me create a space to hold all of this. And so it started working for me, and I didn't have to sort, I didn't have to throw anything out. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you for sharing that. And I really believe in that, for holding a space of, it's kind of a space of not knowing and being okay with that until things kind of sift themselves out, and believing, I do truly believe that everybody has their own unique way, and that they find that by holding that place. It's not a matter of saying, oh, this is how it should be done, right?
Right.
Yeah. Thanks. So what? How has this been helpful? Or, you know, any, maybe those of you that haven't shared as much, give me some feedback here. Is this something that's resonating with you? Is it helpful? Is it not that helpful? Because that's completely fine too. Or, you know, kind of let me know where you're at and what your thoughts are about this.
Leslie, this is Heather.
Heather.
So it just feels like there's so much to think about. It feels really, really rich, and I've definitely been taking it all in. And I'll say probably what I loved the, I want to call it the mandala, and I know that's not it. So I'm
right.
Sorry, what is it? What is
mandorla.
It called again? Mandorla.
The mandorla. that's great.
But I'm sure the creation of the mandorla is similar to the creation of a mandala. I'm going to guess that it takes the same kind of, you know, just consistent attention. So I love that, and I'm definitely really musing on that, and I really appreciated Rose's sharing. You know, and I think in the past when I've been in conflict for myself, it's like those circles are on, you know, opposite sides of the paper, probably as close to the edges as they can, where they're probably almost like a line in the longer circles. So I really like the idea of, you know, just cultivating the energy of that space where they overlap. And I also used to be a high school teacher, and in the high school world, that's a Venn diagram. And
oh, yes.
I would draw that on the board to explain different things, and it was always really a great tool. So I think it has a really fabulous visual effect because it would always really draw the students in. So, you know, I just offer that up as, you know, just another part of the powerful energy behind that. And, you know, for myself, I'm just going to keep looking at ways that I can, you know, give energy to that middle space, that almond. And I really appreciate that, so thank you.
Oh, yeah, thank you. And I think that's hard for us as far as holding that middle space. It's because it's not something that's completely familiar to us. It's very right brain, and we tend to want the answers. So it's just holding the energy in our bodies. How do our bodies feel? It's holding the unknowing. So it has, I've been amazed how many times I've had a question that maybe I've gone about trying to find the answer very logically and almost forcefully, whereas when I just held it in my mind in this middle space, the space of not knowing, that I've actually have received an answer fairly quickly, not that that's a guarantee, but that a lot of, it's this idea of kind of this place of surrender, so that things are allowed to be there and are allowed to transform. It's a place of letting go. And this is something that's challenging for us as, you know, a society, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Well, and Leslie, this is Crystal.
Yes.
I think, I don't know how black and white everybody else is, but I think out of couples, usually one is more than another.
Yes.
And in our case, we both are fairly black and white. And I think the space can represent what is possible. Like asking yourself the question, what is the possibility of such and such? It's kind of like where things are possible and not just one or the other. And we need, my husband and I need a spot where we can kind of retreat to. And I think he will take it very literally, you know, because he's A plus B equals C to him all the time. And there's just something about this space that is saved for possibility thinking.
Yeah. And do you see this as being something of actually sharing this concept with them, or is this something more that you see for yourself? Explain that a little bit more, how you how you could see this for the two of you in this possibility thinking.
Well, it's very visual. So there would be a time for that, and probably when conflict comes up. And I could see him really taking off with this, you know, because he is very visual and he's got a graphics background and that kind of thing. But for me personally, it represents, when we have conflict, I tend to lose energy and sort of retreat and even get kind of physically smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a space for me that, I can still stay in the realm of, you know, there's more probabilities than just A, B, or C for me.
Yeah.
You know, I can still, because in my being, when I'm talking with him and we're having conflict, it's very much like, well, it's this or it's this.
Yeah.
And I know he doesn't intend to sound like a bully or anything like that, but it's really what he believes. But I don't happen to share that. I believe that there's tons of ways of looking at something, and there's not just a right and a wrong way. And I guess I will hold on to that as, you know, there's more possibilities here, and this space represents it, whether or not I'm hearing that from him. And I think that can help me from getting just almost like I'm hanging on to a life preserver. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's this possibility. I don't have to withdraw or get aggressive. I can still hang on to this even with someone trying to convince me it's this or this way. Because I see us as we're going through things. I don't know, though. I see us as having a lot of conflict, but truthfully, when I have attempted to talk to him and I'm not as far along as some of the others in their financial dating, he's been more open than I expected. And so this space is maybe more real for me than I thought.
Mm. Yeah, and the great thing about this, you know, you guys are also talking about including your partners in this concept, which is wonderful. I love hearing that. And the great thing to keep in mind is that it's not even dependent on your partner or the other people in your life needing you in this, holding the same intention. It doesn't matter, you know, if they do the same thing. It's a matter, I mean, this works just by holding the space yourself. And it's wonderful to bring your partners in on this. But I just want to provide that as a reminder because, you know, holding that center middle space is transforming even when you do it alone. And I like what you said about holding, you know, thinking of it as possibility too. So thank you everyone for sharing. I love hearing your stories and your insights. And if you feel like you caught something from this call, I would really like to encourage you to think of maybe one other person in your life that you think might benefit from these calls. They're not just limited to people that receive my newsletter. You know, feel free to pass the phone information on to them, the access code, and if they like it, you know, have them try out a call, and if they like it, they can sign up for the call so they can get the information themselves directly in their email. And, you know, it is really my goal and passion to reach as many people as possible. So, just think about the people in your life that might be able to benefit from these. We have them the first three Tuesdays of each month at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And thank you, everyone, for joining and for sharing. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good day. All right. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.